The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
What an impressive win today for the Bucks, who do so without Giannis. You got your hopes up with the return of Chris Middleton. We have mentioned for some time now that it did seem most likely it would be either the most recent game the Bucks played or today, especially when you factor in those two off days that the Bucks had. And that was the other thing, is that's becoming the common occurrence now. Days off on the schedule for the Bucks. Doc Rivers told us before the game today, you know, we're going to use a lot of those as practice days, as we don't have the luxury a lot of these teams in the league have, where you have that continuity built up. Sure, you have continuity and chemistry with Giannis and Chris Middleton, Giannis and Brooke Lopez and Chris and a lot of that group. Jay Crowder as well, Pat Connaughton and Bobby Portis, but not under this coach and not as much with Damian Lillard. So the Bucks do have that advantage now of 2 days off to go through some things, to do some more film sessions, to do some more walkthroughs on the court. But it didn't appear as though Chris Middleton needed any of that in his return today. After a 16-game absence, Chris Middleton with 22 points in a very efficient outing, 22 points, 7 assists, 8 of 15 shooting, the connectivity that he brought to the floor and especially to that second unit was very much apparent. That was one of the big pieces of this game, and that frankly is what we're spending most of the show talking about. If it were not for the first half performance of Bobby Portis and the Bucks shooters as a whole, 18 made threes in the first half. That matches an NBA record for most three-pointers made in a half. And then Damian Lillard, who, hard to believe this is true, but Damian Lillard today becomes the first player in franchise history to have 30 or more points and 15 or more assists in the same game. And you saw Damian Lillard really taking over for stretches of this game. That has been the other constant in the four games that the Bucks have now played without Giannis. They're 3-1. And if we go back to that win over the 76ers, when Doc Rivers was talking with media before the game and he was asked about his time in Philadelphia, and we heard a little bit of this a couple of weeks ago as well when the Bucks were in Philly, but he was asked about some of the changes that he saw in Philadelphia and some of the things that he really tried to stress. And he mentioned, look, one of the things that I really tried to get across and improve for our team was we've got to win. We've got to win more games where Joel is not playing. Joel being Joel Embiid. It hasn't really happened this year. And there's been more of them for Philadelphia with Embiid still on the shelf. But the Bucks have found ways to win. And that's really been one of these staples of Doc Rivers' coaching career. If you go back to that game this season, what stands out the most, just recently, that game against the Clippers, where the Bucks won that game without Giannis, without Chris Middleton, is Damian Lillard taking over. Today, the Bucks improved to 3-1 in games played without Giannis, but what stands out the most about those games is Damian Lillard. In all three of those wins, Damian Lillard has scored 30 or more points. 31 points today, 41 points in that win against the Clippers, and 31 points in that win against the Toronto Raptors. And that Raptors game is what feels closest to what we saw today. You got to go all the way back to mid-November. It was 2 weeks to the day after a rather embarrassing loss that the Bucks suffered in Toronto early in the season. Giannis didn't play in that game. We were wondering, when is Damian Lillard going to start to consistently get on track? And it appeared as though it started in that game. Damian Lillard scored 31 points. It was the ball movement, the shot creation. Malik Beasley had a 30-point game that day as well. Everything. The offense was clicking. That's what we saw for large stretches today. And I do want to preface with this. I am not suggesting the Bucks are better off without Giannis. But I think what you see when this happens as more of a one-off, what makes it challenging to prepare and defend this team is everything every team has worked on. When you think about loading up, get back in transition, load up your defense, build a wall, throw as many bodies as you can, at Giannis, keep guys close to the basket. When you do that, when Giannis is off the floor, and if that's what you've prepared for, it creates what we saw today. And I'm not saying that was entirely what Phoenix did. But you can't play defense the same way. If Damian Lillard is going to attack the paint, and by the way, there are more opportunities to attack the paint with Giannis off the floor for the obvious reason, right? Giannis isn't doing it. There isn't defense walled up around the basket. But what you saw today, Damian Lillard beating his man at the point of attack, getting into the lane, either finishing at the rim, drawing free throws, drawing fouls, or kicking it out to open shooters. It's the same thing we saw in Toronto months ago. A lot of the similarities in what we saw against the Los Angeles Clippers and in the other games that Giannis has missed, but it really stood out today. An important win for the Bucks. 855-616-1620, the number to join us today on Bucks Talk. We'll take a closer look at some of those numbers, where this ranks in terms of best games of Damian Lillard's career. I know he's had more point production, but this is a rarity. I mentioned it's the first time anybody in the history of the Bucks has done this. How rare is it for Dame? We'll take a look at that and hear from you after this on Bucks Talk.
Welcome back to Bucks Talk.
140 to 129, the final score here inside of Fiserv Forum. Bucks take down the Phoenix Suns. A historic shooting day for the Bucks. 18 made threes in the first half. That is a franchise record. It matches the NBA record for most three-pointers in a half. You had Bobby Portis finishing with 31 points, but also nearly setting a new personal best. 4 points scored in a half, 25 in that first half from Bobby. His career best is 28 points in a half that he scored as a member of the Chicago Bulls. You had Damian Lillard with 31 points and 16 assists. Those 16 assists match his career high, and he becomes the first player in Bucks franchise history to have 30 or more points and 15 or more assists in the same game. It is only the fourth time in Damian Lillard's career that he has done that. Obviously, the previous three all came with the Portland Trail Blazers, but it has been a rarity for even Damian Lillard, who is a facilitator, that we think of him more as a scorer. But Damian Lillard, incredible today. And not really the big thing is, can you see this all come together? I thought that was the other important thing that Doc Rivers said after the game, is finding that continuity and keeping that rhythm for everybody. We're going to assume, and I know that's a deadly thing to do, but we're going to assume Giannis plays on Wednesday against the Boston Celtics. That was the other piece to take from Doc's postgame, is he mentioned basically that, you know, we had to talk Giannis into taking this game off, and thankfully he went with it, because Giannis did warm up. We saw Giannis go through all of his normal routine. He was listed as questionable on the injury report for today's game, but came out here at the same time he usually does, went through a full warm-up routine. This time he had Chris Middleton going through it with him as well. And the indications were that Giannis was going to play. Even as we heard from Doc Rivers about 90 minutes before the game, he had said, yeah, I expect Giannis to play. It sounds like he's going to play. And, 30 minutes before tip is when the note came that Giannis is not going to be available for today. So the big thing is keeping that rhythm. All three need to be in a rhythm at the same time, and that's incredibly hard to do. The third guy always gets the least shots, as Doc said and mentioned, those infamous number three guys. And I think the one that a lot of Bucks fans are familiar with, Ray Allen, Doc had him in Boston as part of that big three. Ray got fewer shots than Kevin Garnett, than Paul Pierce. It's a challenge to keep them in a rhythm, but you just have to find a way to keep that guy involved and keep that guy aggressive. And that's why you got to see these three players together for an extended period of time. You have a few back-to-backs left on this schedule. As we had mentioned before, I don't anticipate Chris Middleton is going to play in both sets of a back-to-back. He wasn't doing it before, and now, knowing how close you are to the postseason, knowing how important it is to have Chris Middleton on the floor for you, I would imagine you're going to see him in one or the other this week. On the road against the Boston Celtics, back at home against the Brooklyn Nets. The Celtics game is going to carry a lot of cachet. that's the important game in terms of the optics. It's a good litmus test, right? So we mentioned this on the network postgame. The odds are you're not catching the Boston Celtics. You would need more than a lot to go your way for that to happen. It's a 10-game separation in the loss column, but you do want to see as many looks as you can, full strength, to see how this team looks and how this team matches up against that Boston Celtics team. You'll get your first crack at that on Wednesday, and what may make that game Wednesday even more important is, I've mentioned this a couple of times as well, the other game you have left against the Celtics this season, it comes during the final week of the regular season. It is regular season game number 79 for the Bucks. At that point, the Celtics are going to have already locked up the top seed in the Eastern Conference. If they did not, something drastically went wrong for Boston and right for the Bucks or the Cavs or whoever it is. But the likelihood is that it's going to be a meaningless game for the Boston Celtics. And I know it's a national game, but you do wonder what that means in terms of who you're going to see on the floor for both of these teams. It's also game one of a back-to-back and what could prove to be a very important matchup the following night. It's a big stretch of play for the Bucks overall because we keep pointing to this schedule in the month of March, and it is challenging. It has been full of challenges. You had only a handful of games played against teams that are not going to be participating in the postseason. One game, really, and that is coming up against the Brooklyn Nets in the month of March. Now, you had more at the end of February, but in March's slate, 14 games, only one of those games is going to be against a team that does not at least qualify for the play-in tournament, the Brooklyn Nets on Thursday. The Atlanta Hawks are going to be there. They're going to be probably the 10 seed. The Pelicans keep climbing the charts in the Western Conference. The Lakers, who you had twice in this month, they're probably going to be a play-in tournament team. The Kings are a playoff team. The Warriors are a play-in tournament team. The Suns are likely a play-in tournament team now at this point. But you got the Thunder, right? It's full of challenging opponents. When you get to April, you get a little bit of a break early in the month, where after that Hawks game, and really I think you would point to the Hawks game through the end of that first week in April of, look, this is where we really got to make a charge here. Hawks on the road, Washington Wizards on the road, then the Memphis Grizzlies in one of those games Doc has mentioned, the revenge games and how well his team has played in those, and then the Toronto Raptors. And that, again, is another team, the last team the Bucks are going to draw that isn't going to qualify for the postseason. But that final week of the regular season for the Bucks, five games, if we include the wraparound Sunday to Sunday, five games for the Bucks. Those five games at home against the New York Knicks in what could be a potentially huge game. Then you have that final game against the Boston Celtics. Again, TBD on the importance of that. But then it's a back-to-back, night two of the back-to-back, at home against the Orlando Magic, who right now sit at fifth in the Eastern Conference and don't appear to be going away. And then two road games in Oklahoma City and in Orlando again to bring a close to the regular season. So this is a big stretch that the Bucks are in, and getting these types of wins, winning without Giannis, winning without your best players on the floor, these are the types of things you need to piece together and, again, build that continuity and find a rhythm. But everything you saw today, we could nitpick the defense and say, man, you gave up 129 points. What's happened to the defensive side of the ball? What's happened to the unit that we've seen since Doc Rivers has taken over? Because scoring has gone up. You anticipated that would happen, however. But I keep pointing to the offense and how good this team has been in the half court under Doc Rivers. But as a whole, those lineups with Giannis and Chris and Dame on the floor, the Bucks' starting lineup has the fourth best offensive rating in the half court this season, trailing only the teams you would expect, the Boston Celtics, the Denver Nuggets, and maybe you wouldn't expect it, but the Oklahoma City Thunder. And then you have the Bucks. Those teams, those lineups, those have been the best in the half court. And I keep pointing this out because half court offense, in addition to your defense, half court offense is what is most crucial and important in the postseason. 855-616-1620, the number to join us today on Bucks Talk. A few calls trickling in. We'll get to you after this on Bucks Talk.
The round ball repartee returns. This is Bucks Talk.
140-129, the final here inside of Fiserv Forum. Bucks win it on St. Patrick's Day. Rather interesting decision by the Bucks to wear their City Edition blue jerseys and alternate blue court on this St. Patrick's Day when they're one of a handful of teams that have green incorporated into their jerseys. But nonetheless, a good win today for the Bucks. 855-616-1620, the number to join us on Bucks Talk this afternoon. Let's head to the phone lines and check in with Mike in Shorewood. What's going on today, Mike?
Hey, what's going on, man? I want to see how the Bucks would come out today without Giannis against a very formidable Phoenix team who was fully healthy and a good test for them. And it was spectacular. I think Middleton, that was huge for the Bucks to finally get him back in the lineup. But we saw tonight Bobby Portis just continuing the lights out. He was just incredible offensively in that first half. Just he was unconscious there. That was incredible to watch. And then you saw why they have Dame. Second half, we knew Phoenix would make a run because they played so poorly in the first half. And every time they cut it down with Grayson Allen and Beal really getting hot there, it was Dame just hitting huge shots down the stretch there, or even creating for other guys, for Beasley to get easy looks there, or even Jay Crowder had some open looks there in the corner. So Dame is really showing that he can take over a game there when needed to be down the stretch of games, and that's what they're going to need from him to win a title. So I thought all in all, even though Phoenix did score $1.29, I think that was kind of a fraud because they really shut down KD, who's in my mind still one of the top probably four or five offensive players in the league. Obviously, Beal and Booker and Grayson Allen were pretty good, but, I mean, you'll take that if you can just shut down Durant because he can go off at any time. So, all in all, this was a hell of a win at home against a very formidable opponent, and now we get to see the test that we want to see in Boston in a couple of nights. So, if Giannis is back there playing like they are, I still like the Bucks to beat the Celtics, even though everybody – all the odds makers and everybody's going to pick the Celtics, but we saw what they're capable of when Boston came to Fiserv and they handed them their worst loss of the season. So it's going to be a huge test, but I mean, if the Bucks are playing their basketball and they got to play like they are in playoff mode, to me, I still like them slightly over the Celtics, and hopefully we're going to most likely see that in the Eastern Conference Final, barring any major injuries or choke jobs by any team. So this was a hell of a win, and I liked it going into Boston. Thanks for the time.
Yeah, you bet, Mike. And yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see that matchup on Wednesday, especially if this Bucks team is full strength. We thought it was going to be today that you would have essentially all players available for the first time in who knows how long. But Marjon Beauchamp also missed the game today. Chris Livingston is dealing with an ankle issue. The big one, obviously, is Giannis. So that's going to carry a lot of headlines in a national game on Wednesday. If Giannis is back, if Chris Middleton plays, which there's no reason to believe he won't, and you have a full-strength, relatively full-strength Celtics team. I say relatively full-strength because Jaylen Brown is now dealing with an ankle injury. So that, as we learned with Chris Middleton, not suggesting his is anywhere near as severe as Chris's was. You just never know with ankles. It's the next day, it's a lot worse how it progresses from there. But the Celtics are playing today, and Jaylen Brown is out with a right ankle sprain. So keep an eye on that for these next couple of days here. They're playing today's game, by the way, against the Wizards without Jaylen Brown, without Kristaps Porzingis, and without Derek White, a hamstring strain for Kristaps Porzingis and a hand strain for Derek White. H-A-N-D, hand strain for Derek White. But the Jaylen Brown piece is the one to keep an eye on for that game on Wednesday and that ankle issue. Look, I think all Bucks fans would love to see full-strength Celtics versus full-strength Bucks. Let's see how this Bucks team matches up. And, you know, I'm not going to suggest that the Phoenix Suns are the closest comp there is to the Boston Celtics. There's some similarities with the Boston Celtics in terms of what you need to prepare for and what you need to defend. Celtics are clearly a much better three-point shooting team than the Phoenix Suns are. It is not their strength. They're a team that gets into the mid-range. They can knock down those shots, and they're very good, maybe the best collection of mid-range players on a roster. When you think about Kevin Durant, and certainly Devin Booker, Bradley Beal has the ability to do that as well. Celtics bring much more threes, but they're still perimeter players that you have to be cognizant of, that you have to get out and defend and run off the line and defend at all three levels. The ability to score in the mid-range, to score from beyond the arc, and the ability to put the ball on the floor and attack the basket. Suns have a lot of that. Nobody has the level of it that the Boston Celtics have. So in some ways, not to make too much out of this game, but in some ways it could be a decent game to get you ready for what is only going to be enhanced, again, assuming the Celtics are full strength, on Wednesday in Boston. 855-616-1620, the number to join us this afternoon on Bucks Talk. We'll take a look at not only the standings, but what the projections are telling us now with this result out of the way. It is starting to trend much more heavily in the Bucks' favor. I'll explain what I mean after this on Bucks Talk.
This is Bucks Talk.
A revenge game for the Bucks, as Doc Rivers said after that win against the Denver Nuggets here in this same building. Hey, we do pretty good in these revenge games. And that continued today, a revenge game on multiple levels. A hard-fought game last time these two teams played in Phoenix that the Bucks shorthanded just came up short. But a revenge game for Chris Middleton, too, who, ironically enough, last played in a game when the Bucks were in Phoenix against the Suns. He made his return today against the same team after coming down on the foot of Kevin Durant. And Chris Middleton looked very, very good in his return today. 22 points in 26 minutes, 8 of 15 from the field, and 7 assists. That connectivity from the starters to the bench, Chris has been as instrumental there as anyone else, and I think you started to see what you had been missing in those previous 16 games with his performance today in this win. 855-616-1620, the number to join us today on Bucks Talk as we take a look at what's in front of the Bucks here. Mention the next game after 2 days off is in Boston against the Celtics. I put this out there on social media as well, but curious to hear where you guys come down on this. But who do you think the Bucks are most likely to draw in the first round of the playoffs? It does seem as though it's going to come down to three teams. The numbers are increasingly in the Bucks' favor that they are going to finish second in the Eastern Conference. And look, I said I thought they'd finish third. That was before injuries started to pile up for the Cleveland Cavaliers, who have just been dealing with it right now. Donovan Mitchell has not looked himself. They lost Evan Mobley. They're playing without Max Strus. No timeline on either of those two players' returns. But in the meantime, we've seen Cleveland go 4-6 in their last 10 games, just as the Bucks have heated up. And that four-game separation in the loss column is not only gone, the Bucks have leapfrogged the Cavaliers. For a long time, I had pointed to divisional record, the importance of this. Hey, you're going to have to start rooting against the Cavs in divisional games, and especially the only two now that are remaining. Tomorrow night in Indianapolis against the Pacers, and then one more game against the Pacers. It may not matter, right? If you're going to finish with a better record, it does not matter. And so far, it appears that's where it's trending. But I will add this. It was setting up pretty good for the Bucks. And look, nobody has an easy path in the postseason. That's why I caution to even get into the, well, you could play this team and that would mean this, and then here's your path. Because you got to beat good teams to advance in the playoffs. You know, for as many people there are that want to point to, man, the Bucks beat the Atlanta Hawks in the conference finals. I know the Miami Heat were not the same level of team that they've been in the past couple of years, certainly. Bucks still beat the Heat in the first round of the playoffs. And not only beat them convincingly. A dominant four-game sweep that in many ways felt like it was the Bucks exercising some demons there. But they put together an impressive showing against arguably the best coach, not only in the game today, but in quite some time. From there, you had what really was the de facto Eastern Conference Finals. The Bucks and the Brooklyn Nets. And look, you can say they didn't face a Nets team with Kyrie Irving, James Harden, and Kevin Durant. They did for all of 50 seconds. Then James Harden had the hamstring issue, didn't return until the midpoint of the series, just as Kyrie Irving exited. It was still Kevin Durant playing at basketball at a level we have not seen recently outside of Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James. He arguably had the best individual series of any player any Bucks fan has seen that I've certainly seen in decades. He was incredible. He was unstoppable. And by the way, that's been one of the more notable things about these two games played this season between the Bucks and the Phoenix Suns. And I hesitate to even go this far. I mean no disrespect, but just how human Kevin Durant has looked in these two games. Again, go down the list of Suns players that took more field goal attempts than Kevin Durant in this game today. Grayson Allen, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker, Royce O'Neal. Kevin Durant took 10 shots in this game, hit four of them, finished the game with 11 points in 41 minutes. You beat a very good Brooklyn Nets team. That was the type of challenge that I think the Bucks needed to get ready for everything that was in front of them. That galvanized a group. That gave you that confidence, right? That was the test that you needed to see where do we stack up, just as we're talking about with this game Wednesday against the Celtics. You beat an Atlanta Hawks team that wasn't supposed to be there, but they were playing with house money. Those teams can be dangerous, and you beat them without Giannis in those final two games. And then you beat this Phoenix Suns team that, start to finish up until the finals, were the best team in the league. They blew through the Western Conference in the playoffs. They were the best team during the regular season. They won the first two games of that series. And this team, because they dealt with adversity in that Hawks series, losing game one on their home floor, losing Giannis game four of the series, going down the way they did to the Brooklyn Nets, where again, nobody gave the Bucks a shot to win that series, losing game two by nearly 50 points, down two games to none. Losing game five in the fashion that they did when you thought, okay, the Bucks have finally seized control of this series to bounce back and win the final two games. Those were the types of things you needed to get yourself ready. I point all this out because you're going to have a challenging draw regardless of where you finish. But I think that's what you need to get ready for those types of series. And I don't think starting with a quote-unquote easy team, that's not going to get you to the level where you need to be. That the way the Eastern Conference has started to break of late, that may be something that's beneficial for teams like the Bucks, like the Knicks. Who knows? Seeding to be determined. But I point all this out because at this moment, Bucks have a 64% chance, the side I trust the most, 64% chance to finish second in the Eastern Conference. They have a 90% chance to finish in the top three. So I point all that out because it does seem as though Pacers, Sixers, Heat, right now those teams 6, 7, 8, it seems like they are the most likely first-round opponent, one of those three teams for the Bucks in the postseason. So I'm very curious to hear who you think the Bucks would play, and of those teams, who would you want to play? You lost four or five games against the Indiana Pacers. You've lost every year but one in the playoffs to the Miami Heat. And the 76ers, I keep pointing it out, Joel Embiid is going to be back. Are the Bucks a better team than the 76ers? I do believe so. But Joel Embiid was a cheat code in the regular season when he was healthy this season. Now, who knows what level Joel Embiid is going to be at, but that is still, if you finish in the top two or three, that is not the draw that you would expect in the first round of the postseason. But it's where the Eastern Conference is for these last couple of years, and it's what makes things even more interesting with the play-in tournament. 855-616-1620, the number to join us today on Bucks Talk. We'll take a look at the early returns on that poll question and wrap up the show after this.
Come back to Bucks Talk.
140 to 129. Bucks win it on St. Patrick's Day, taking down the Phoenix Suns. Bucks are now back to 20 games above 500 on the season at 44 and 24. Tomorrow is going to be a big day in the Eastern Conference. I mentioned this on the network portion of the postgame, but there are a couple of games to keep an eye on tomorrow. The biggest is in Indianapolis, where the Pacers host the Cavaliers. So if the Cavs win that game, there's still a game back of the Bucks in the loss column. They're a game back in the overall standings. But they would also then clinch the head-to-head tiebreaker, should it come down to that, by way of finishing with a better regular season record in division. So that's an important game. The Sixers host the Miami Heat. That's an important game as we take a look at the seeding in the Eastern Conference. Right now, those two teams are 7-8. The Indiana Pacers just a half game in front of the Sixers, a game in front of the Miami Heat. So again, you're going to continue to see more movement tomorrow. And I mentioned it before we took a break. Those three teams seem the most likely. One of those three teams is who the Bucks are going to play in the first round of the playoffs. Sure, there are scenarios where you could play the Cavs. You could play the Knicks. You could play the Orlando Magic. I think that would be the team Bucks fans, the majority of them, would say, I would like to play the Orlando Magic in the first round of the playoffs. But the reality is, it is probably going to be the Pacers, the 76ers, or the Miami Heat. And look, if you like things off the court, every single one of those matchups is ripe with intrigue and storylines. Doc Rivers versus his former team. The Bucks versus a team they've had a lot to say about and vice versa, that beat them 4 out of 5 times in the regular season. Or the Miami Heat, who ended their season in the first round a year ago. So a very, very big, interesting stretch of Bucks basketball coming up here in these next few weeks. Wednesday night, our next game broadcast, 6:30 tip time in Boston. 6 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to stick around after the game for Bucks Talk. We'll talk to you then.